This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
Time of the week, Thursday, 8:25. Nate Taylor presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them at 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor and your beautiful, sexy laugh. How are you on this Thursday morning?
Incredible. I'm doing wonderful, fellas. How are you all?
We're doing fantastic, man. We're rolling into the holiday season, and it's always good this time of year.
Praise be.
Good to see Patrick gonna get out there and play on Saturday against the Houston Texans. What is your early read on this game, Nate? Because the Texans, I think, obviously a pretty good team coming into Arrowhead. What is your early read on this one?
Yeah, no, it should be a fun matchup, right? Even despite Patrick having some limitations with his mobility, considering, you know, once again, he has a right ankle sprain. Look, I do get the sense that, like, C.J. Stroud has been okay this year in terms of, you know, being a young, dynamic quarterback. But he needs better support from his offensive line. And I think this is the game where Chris Jones could feast on the interior of the Houston Texans offensive line. It is starting to become a trend, fellas. Now, look, doing it against the Raiders, cool. You know, having some success against the Chargers was noticeable because, considering that's a playoff team, you absolutely devoured Jameis Winston on Sunday and a Browns team that, you know, should not be trying to win any more games this season. But this is a team that is a real test in terms of the AFC postseason race. Obviously, you're trying to get the one seed. If Charles Omenihu's return equals more sacks, more just consistent pressure on the quarterback, and now Steve Spagnuolo doesn't have to use all of his blitzes, say, in like the first half or the first three quarters of the game, okay, it might not be a fun day for C.J. Stroud because we are noticing an uptick in pass rush the moment Charles Omenihu came onto the field against the Raiders on Black Friday. So I think this is a chance for Chris Jones to feast, for, you know, George Karlaftis to stay on, you know, pace of what he's been doing the last couple of weeks. And it was really good to see Charles Omenihu get that strip sack. Even though they didn't recover the fumble, that's the kind of play you were missing in terms of having a clear winner at the edge rush position when you know that, you know, Chris Jones is trying to take on a double team.
Nate Taylor, what is your opinion of Tim Settle's comments?
What did he say?
I'll play it for you.
I definitely see this O-line. It definitely has its leap holes, and it definitely has its their struggles. But, you know, I feel like that we can take advantage of that. You know, we got an elite D-line. You know, I feel like Pat's a little banged up, so I don't know if he's going to play or not. But I hope he's mobile enough because we coming in Arrowhead.
You guys plan to get after that?
Yeah, for sure. Pat better make a good decision. I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises.
So go ahead.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, for the God knows how much time, let's say for the 77th time, we have a player who's good in his own right. You know, you may not have heard of him.
No, never.
But he's in the NFL, you know, and you know what? He's confident, right? Mm-hmm. Because every athlete at that highest level should be confident about their own skills, ability, and their teammates. Once again, we are questioning the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I look forward to, what's his name again, Mr. Settle?
That's right.
I look forward to Mr. Settle understanding the gravity, Patrick Mahomes' ability to play well when injured, right? Just a quick recap, Mr. Settle. The man had his kneecap to the left of his body, okay? And then he came back 2 weeks later and threw a jump pass touchdown to Mecole Hardman. Obviously, he had turf toe, and he was coming off a concussion in the 2021 AFC Championship game. All he did was just go up and down the field against the Buffalo Bills. I don't even have to talk to you about the 2022 postseason where, you know, he also had a high ankle sprain and, you know, led the team to the Super Bowl. And, hey, we even have a Monday night game this year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where even in a non-contact situation when I thought at the time, did he just pop his Achilles? No, it's fine. Just tape me up. I'm going to go out there and we're going to go touchdown, touchdown, touchdown to end the game. So it's fun. It's funny now that, like, no one in the division does this anymore.
No.
So I appreciate Mr. Settle for telling Patrick Mahomes he better come correct when it's like, son, he does not have to prove anything to you, but I'm sure he will on Saturday.
Do you think DeMeco Ryans went to him and said, Tim, you need to settle down?
Okay.
Oh, I mean, and that's the other thing, too. DeMeco Ryans was on, wasn't he on the not this past season's 49ers team, because obviously he was the head coach, but he was a part of that great, and I mean all-time great, had they won the Super Bowl, defense for the 49ers in 2019. Like, hey, man, like, DeMeco's got to be going, okay, man, we
right, yeah, like
young guys.
I equated it earlier to history. You know, you got to learn from history, and all these guys over the years that have made these comments to kind of poke the bear a little bit didn't work out well for them. And if
it
Patrick
really didn't.
No, but if Patrick needed a little bit more to get ready for this game on Saturday, Mr. Settle just gave it to him.
Yeah, I mean, think about this, right? At least Mr. Settle will have a. He could have an impact on the outcome of the game because, you know, he actually plays against Patrick Mahomes, whereas, like, Jamar Chase can't even mention this man's name because, you know, he's the reason that, you know, maybe the Bengals haven't been as successful as they thought they would be. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, like, a couple days later, really literally puts his ring in Jamar Chase's face. So I get the sense with a lot of these players that you have to say something, right? I mean, I appreciate that us as reporters can go up to a young man and try to get a young man to say something provocative. And then that young man without, you know, as you're saying, Bob, maybe he understands the history. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's tired of hearing his coaches say how great Patrick Mahomes is in the meeting rooms. I don't know, but I appreciate that we try our best to get somebody to say something about this man. But yeah, it is mostly backfired. I remember when the Jaguars were like great. They had an awesome defense, and then Jalen Ramsey was like, "Yeah, I'm never doing that again."
Yeah.
He just dragged us up and down the field for 3 hours. I'm never saying anything about this man again. That is in any way taken as disrespect.
I don't remember the linebacker's name, but I remember they asked him. He was smiling in their pregame press conference. Like,
yeah.
I think it was like a Thursday, and they're like, "What's so funny? Like, what are you laughing at?" He's like, "Ask me after the game." And then he refused to come to the podium after the game. And then since that day, Jacksonville has been basically irrelevant. I know they had that surprise season a couple years ago, but either way.
Right,
I do want to ask you about what the addition of Hollywood Brown adds to this offense. I think there's a lot of people out there that know the name, know his style of play, fast, kind of a gadgety receiver. But, like, with this offense, it's kind of been so far this year. What does he bring to this offense, and especially in a situation where Patrick Mahomes is somewhat limited with that ankle injury?
Yeah, well, it gives you another option to throw the ball quickly, right? You know, it's fascinating because Hollywood was supposed to be really the number two receiver, right? I think it was clear from when the season began, even without Hollywood on, you know, opening night against the Ravens, hey, like, they're going to feed the ball a ton to Rashee Rice, and then somebody who was going to go over the top if defenses started to account for Rashee was going to be Hollywood Brown. Obviously, you mix in Travis Kelce. What we have noticed, because the offense has been very up and down this year, is that defenses are playing more man coverage than I think the Chiefs would anticipate or just the normal offense would in the NFL. Most defenses, unless you're in a specific down and distance, usually like to play zone or match zone or just, hey, let's make sure we have eyes on the quarterback, especially if that quarterback can scramble to the ability that Patrick can. But it's been hard for the receivers to separate, and that even accounts for the arrival of DeAndre Hopkins. He's a great contested ball catcher, but he's not generating a ton of separation. You still have, you know, Xavier Worthy, but teams are obviously trying not to make him, you know, beat them over the top. So if you put a cap on it, and you know Travis Kelce is, you know, effective, but obviously he's not in the prime of his career, you need someone to win one-on-one against man coverage in like less than 2 seconds, because, you know, that whole offensive line thing's been an issue in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So if Hollywood has been in conditioned as well as the coaching staff has said, and he's been here all year and he understands the playbook, and, you know, he's had a couple of practices to understand where Patrick wants him to be on a certain timing element, then yeah, hey, can you run a slant? Can you run some quick digs to get him, you know, quick separation, some corner routes against man coverage? Because that's what you're seeing more and more often on third down. And it's one of the reasons why Patrick got hurt on that 4th-and-3 play, when really the offense shouldn't have been out there. But they called a play, and the Browns went to man coverage, and nobody was immediately open in those 2 seconds. And so now Patrick feels like he has to, you know, climb up in the pocket, and all of a sudden he gets hit and he gets hurt, and he hobbles off the field. So that's where Hollywood can, I think, help them the most, is if someone wants to play man coverage on a pivotal third down or a fourth down with maybe the season on the line, he's probably the best receiver with the most experience and explosiveness to beat that man-to-man coverage.
How do you feel about the offensive line? I really like what Caliendo did at guard. I thought Joe Tooney played very well at that left tackle. I'd keep it as is for the rest of the season. What do you think?
Ooh, that's, now see, that's interesting. I thought you were going to say keep it as is for Saturday, which I believe will be the case, right? We'll still see Joe Tooney at left tackle. Mm-hmm. Mike Caliendo had his first career start, and the broadcast didn't say his name a ton, nope. You know, so that's a good sign. Now, I still think there's some issues with Juwan Taylor, which I think is surprising, because it was around this time last year that Juwan Taylor actually started playing really, really well, and that continued through the postseason. So, you know, I think more defenses are now starting to pick on him just as much as they're trying to exploit the left tackle situation. When it comes to Joe Tooney and the possibility of him being the left tackle the rest of the season, that would mean that, you know, I'm not going to say he's out of shape, but that would mean that, like, DJ Humphrey's hamstring is just going to be something that is lingering and that nags for the rest of the year, right? I mean, he came in, you know, with so many games left in the schedule because he was supposed to be like the Calvary, right? He's supposed to be like, okay, well, if we could at least go to this veteran guy who's going to help us close to get the one seed, and then obviously he'll get even more time in the system to play in the postseason. The Chiefs still want DJ Humphreys to be that starter, but if he's not right against, and I think one of the reasons why he's not practicing, I should say this too, fellas, one of the reasons why DJ Humphreys not practicing this week is so that maybe he could be available Pittsburgh Steelers on Christmas Day, next Wednesday. So I understand what the Chiefs are trying to do, but there's a reason, as good as Joe Tooney is, as solid of a teammate as he is, the fact that he understood exactly what he could and couldn't do against Myles Garrett, he plays left guard for a reason, right? He's obviously really, really good at the position, but he doesn't have sort of the arm length. He's not the quickest in terms of footwork, but his footwork is so precise that, again, it gives him a chance to die a slow death, to where Patrick isn't pressured, you know, immediately when the play begins. So I know what you're saying. It'd be interesting if you know, because Will Anderson will be his matchup, I assume, this Saturday. It'd be interesting if Joe Tooney did really, really well, right? Let's say Joe Tooney, like, improves from last week against Myles Garrett to this week against Will Anderson. Now you might be on to something, Bob. Especially if Patrick, again, with limited mobility, given the ankle sprain, can stay upright for the entire 60 minutes. Like, he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't re-aggravate the injury, and all of a sudden it becomes an even bigger issue heading into the postseason. If Joe Tooney can do that, then maybe he convinces the coaching staff that, like, okay, you know, as much as we love DJ Humphreys and we signed him for a reason, you know, if Mike Caliendo can hold up and Joe Tooney is going to get better from here, it's definitely an option. But at least we know that's what we're going to see on Saturday. And however this thing moves forward, you know, it's your guess is as good as anybody's because a guy's coming off an ACL who has a hamstring injury. I still see Kingsley Suamasi in the locker room. We're never going to see him on the field.
All right, Nate. Well, you have a good Christmas with the family. Enjoy the game. And or wait, you'll probably have to be in Pittsburgh, won't you?
Yes, I will be in Pittsburgh.
So, do you like or hate Christmas Day games? Or are you allowed to say?
I am blinking twice. Okay. Someone come rescue me. Okay. no, I don't love Christmas Day games in the NFL. That is supposed to be about basketball. Love the NBA. Let the NBA have a day, guys. Just one day during your bleeping season, okay? I don't love Christmas games, especially when it's on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But you know what? For you, ladies and gentlemen, my civic duty is to provide you all this insight about maybe the one seed in the AFC. Hopefully by the time the Chiefs get through this ridiculous schedule.
I'm sure the wife loves hearing that as well. I'm kidding. Happy holidays. Take care.
Have a great holiday, Nate.
We'll talk to you in about a couple weeks or something like that.
Yes, fellas. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thanks again. Yeah.